right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, I've been ignoring it. And all of this with Donald Trump and hoping that he would just go away. He's not going away. And it also appears that he still has a very strong backing. And it's more than likely that he's going to wind up the nominee for the Republicans in the 2024 election. Who would ever believe that that would be possible? When he walked away, you know, he didn't walk away. He was forced to leave. But there were so many negative things associated with him and attached to him. All these court fights, all these court battles.
Well, January 6th.
January 6th. And how could he even be even thought of?
Well, you know, I think it's proof that the American political process is just failing. There couldn't be a person who the public is more aware of his flaws, their flaws. Let's do it proper in terms of gender. That their flaws couldn't be more obvious to the public, and yet there it is. Donald Trump is clearly the favored Republican to get the nomination. Mitt Romney, who I'm sure thinks that it's a horrible idea that he get the nomination, is currently projecting that if the nomination battle were held tomorrow, Donald Trump would clearly win the nomination. And so there we have it. And on the Democrats, we have an uncertain future there. Will
Biden even run?
Will Joe Biden at age 82 actually run? Here we had Donald Trump at age 79 at that point running. I mean, what's wrong with the American system? Do we have to have absolutely geriatric candidates? Do we have to have a totally flawed Republican candidate? Do we have to have such a cynical political process that the American public buys into? I mean, what is happening to us?
You know, Sandy, Joe Biden just is not, I don't want to use the term capable, but, you know, he's got to get through the next 2 years, let alone talking about another four after that. And he just appears to be fragile. And he really is right before your eyes. And with all the things that we're dealing with, to hear people on the right continue to blame Joe Biden for where we are right now, Sandy, with what is going to be soon a global recession, that wasn't Joe Biden totally. There's no way, and yet many of the American people, especially people on the right, don't realize that other nations are headed towards recession. It's global, and the Ukraine war has a lot to do with it. And the fact that, you know, we've been propped up. How long has this recovery been going on? At some point in time, this was going to happen no matter who the president of the United States
was,
right?
Without casting blame for the current circumstances on Joe Biden, I think the notion that we would potentially have a 79-year-old running against, I think, someone who would be 82 when they were running, suggests that isn't America ready for another generation to lead us? Should we really have a bunch of baby boomer cold warriors making all the decisions about how we set our foreign policy and our domestic policy, for that matter? I mean, we've been unable to change the course of this huge aircraft carrier that is the United States. We've been unable to change its course in the direction of providing, for instance, the kind of social safety net that is needed. And while I've never labeled myself as a progressive, much of what the progressive talk about, the changes that we need to support the people of this country so that they can participate in the economy and can support a vibrant a marketplace economy, we need to accomplish it. And the leadership that we've had, the baby boomer leadership, has not accomplished it. And have we changed the direction of America in our foreign policy to create a safer, less rough sea out there for our children and grandchildren to live in? No. In fact, we've restored a Cold War in the process. Yes. And, you know, and we can say that, well, that was done by others. No, we've definitely participated, the United States has, because of our reflex, the knee-jerk reaction we have that has created, I think, again, the Cold War that we came out of, that we all were used to. So isn't it time that we just change generations of leadership? I mean, let's ignore whether the White House currently is at fault for inflation and the economy, because it clearly isn't. It inherited a whole bunch of situations. But isn't it time that the American public just got on with it? Let's move on.
You know, Sandy, long term, that includes Pelosi, Schumer, McConnell.
Yes.
I mean,
the baby boomers have not let go, and it is most obvious when you get to Washington and see the doddering folks that we've got in charge. You know, I mean, you know, they aren't doddering. They're, you know, the new 75 is maybe the new 65, but still, this is a generation that's held the reins of control since JFK. JFK was He was almost a baby boomer. You know, he was younger than that. He was actually in World War II, but. Still, we've got a generation that's held on forever.
Yeah.
40 years.
There's no question. Every time I look at Congress and the Senate, and many of them are older than me, and I can remember seeing them and hearing them, and, you know, when I was relatively a young man. And now I'm looking and I'm seeing and who is the woman that's 88 years old? She's a Democrat.
Boxer? Feinstein.
Remember her clearly.
Sure. Well, I mean, one of the reasons that this exists is because of the way the demographics of the country have set up. It's both this question of gerrymandering, and it's also the concentration of party votes within particular areas. So the concentration of the Democrats in large urban areas have transformed a state like California, which is dominated by large urban areas, into a predominantly Democratic state. And so as long as a Democratic senator wants to stay in office, it would take a primary to get them unseated, right? And so it's created longevity, and it's created longevity in the House as well as in the Senate.
So you and I have talked about this in the past when you talked about, you know, Parliament and other places and how other nations, you know, have more than just a couple different entities to do the bidding. And yet in this country, it's not working. That part of it is not working anymore. Maybe it did once before.
Yeah.
But it's clearly not working now.
Well, I think this is another thermostat where we can read the temperature of the quality of what's going on in our country, and we can realize that our political processes have failed. I think it's because of the two-party system. Now, the two-party system is failing us, and it's demonstrably failing us in terms of the change-out of leadership, the longevity, the long-tooth nature of our leadership, as well as the paralysis, the fact that we get nothing done.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm frustrated as someone who's voted in all elections since I was 18 years old, and I don't care what it is. Am I frustrated with the system that we have in place? Now, yes, I am. Do I believe in it? No, I don't. And I know I'm not alone. And I know there are many other Americans who feel the same way. And yet we're powerless, even though you hear, you know, we the people out of government, you hear all those kinds of things. It's almost as if this is just the reality of what this is. And there's no way that we can change it through voting. I'm not telling people not to vote. There's got to be some other way, Sandy, because the way the system is set up right now, voting is basically our only option. But the system is so strong, it can, you know, the votes aren't strong enough to change the reality of what the system is, right?
Well, I know. And that's actually, you know, to me, what's likely to happen, I think, is that the evolution of our system will evolve towards multiple parties, because there are too many people locked up in a party that's not providing them with what they're interested in achieving. You know, the Republican Party has been taken captive by its most conservative right. The Democratic Party, the left progressive, would say it's been taken captive by the centrist, middle-of-the-road type Democrats. So now we've got two unhappy portions of two parties, and they're quite unhappy. And the longer we go without achieving what they want now, the Republican right is probably pretty happy, because right now they're achieving what they want. They just got the main political straw that they were looking for.
They control the Supreme Court and will for a long time to come. And so really, the Democrats and the long-term strategy, there's not much. They've been checkmated, really, you know, in a game of chess. They've been checkmated. And so all of us have to suffer in what is now at the helm of leadership in this country. We do know that Joe Biden is, how do I say it diplomatically? Doesn't have the strength.
Well, I think you used the term fragile, which probably is, whether he is or not, in fact, I think there is an image of him that suggests a fragility.
And that's not good for the most powerful man on the planet.
Yeah, but to me, some of the plight of the Democrats has come because of how the Democrats have stepped into the traps the Republicans have set for them, and have maybe even stepped into their own traps. In particular, the way they have focused so much on urban space without dealing with rural space, which has set the table for what looks like gerrymandering. But when you step back from it, like the courts do when they're asked to look into this, even the liberal courts that look into it, they have to say, you know what, the concentration of Democrats in the urban areas is pretty much what causes these state house outcomes.
Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. Sandy Williams, we'll be right back.